Behold, how good it is and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. What a wonderful Savior. At 1 second after midnight last night, August slipped in on us, almost unannounced, but here it is. Time is going by, time is fleeting, and Jesus is coming soon. I've gotten to where I'm signing off every letter that I write, every text that I write. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. And I saw on that screen there a while ago about farewell to the hour of prayer. We ought to be ready, folks, and we'll be talking about that a little bit too. But I want you to open your Bible with me, and you know what happens as we open the Bible opens the mind of God. And from Acts chapter number 11, verses 25 and 26, for my text, I'm happy to be with you today. You know, I taught the auditorium class for 35 years, so I feel like I'm back in the saddle again. Acts chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, and I'll read them after we pray. Our Father, we are grateful this morning for your kindness to us. We thank you for the love and mercy that you've shown us. As unworthy and undeserving as we are, we know that at our best, we're bad. At our wisest, we're unwise. At our holiest, we're unholy. At our strongest, we're weak. So we need thee unashamedly and unapologetically. We confess that we need thee. I pray that you bless every person in this room this morning. Some have come really not feeling like coming, but they came anyhow. And then there are those that wish they could be here but are unable physically to be here. And I pray you would be with them today as well. Bless us all and help us to believe, to trust, to obey your precious word. In Jesus' name we ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. Acts chapter 11, verse number 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. I like that, with the church. Too many para-church organizations around in our world today. This is where it is, folks, the local assembly. The body of Christ. They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians. They were called Christians. Wonder why they were called Christians. I believe I can tell you. They were so much like Christ. After all, the word Christian means Christ won. And I'm sure they would say, in essence, there goes one of those Christ ones. They called them Christ ones, Christians first, in Antioch. Now, the message for the lesson this morning is, what is a Christian? How would you define a Christian? If you had to put it down in, say, 10 words, how would you define a Christian? What is a Christian? I'm going to suggest by way of introduction that a Christian is a mind through which Christ thinks. No wonder Paul said in Philippians 2 at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I think in the second place, we could define a Christian as a heart through which Christ loves Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because, watch this, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. God puts his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, who seals us, who keeps us, and this love is shed to other people. Listen, we cannot give out the love of God until the love of God has first been put in us. So Romans 5:5 tells us, shed abroad in our hearts. And then in the third place, a Christian is a body in which Christ lives. Did you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 at verse 20? This is Paul's credo for life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, not self, not ego, not Adam, not the old nature, not I, but watch this, Christ liveth in me. I hope you'll keep those four words in mind. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How many of you have ever visited a beehive? Let's see your hand if you've ever been around a beehive. Most of you look like you have. How many have ever been stung by a bee? Yeah. Wow, quite a few. Well, we're going to visit some Bible beehives this morning in this matter of being a Christian. And I hope, I trust, that every person in this room will be stung by every bee that we visit. Are you ready? Bee number one. Be perfect. Wow, that's a big order, isn't it? Well, if you know what the word perfect means, it isn't. The word perfect there does not mean sinless perfection. I only met one guy. He was a student of mine years ago who said he had never sinned since he'd been saved. I asked him, what do you call lying? Now, that word perfect doesn't mean sinless perfection. Paul spoke to that in Romans. When you have time to read Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 21, where Paul said in essence, you know what, folks, he said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. He said, in this flesh there dwelleth no good thing. So don't tell God how good you are. He knows better. Hello? Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. That's better. Some of you get converted before we get out of here. Be perfect. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, I'm quoting Jesus now, Matthew 5 and verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. The word means to be grown up, to be mature, to reach a new level. If you went into the nursery this morning or looked in through that glass window, they probably wouldn't let you inside, but just look through that glass window and saw a beautiful little baby. Look at his nose, pretty little ears, beautiful eyes, nice hair. That'd be wonderful. But if you came back 10 years later and went in and looked through that glass and saw that same baby there, that'd be a terrible thing. Did you know, now, please listen carefully, a lot of Christians been saved 50 years, 40 years, 25 years, and they're still in the crib of their Christian experience. That is very sad. I challenge you, get out of the nursery. Get into grammar school at least, and then go on into high school and college and take some postgraduate courses as well. We need to be growing, developing, maturing every day of our Christian lives. How am I going to do that? You got to stay in the Word of God. Listen, if I want to know what a person is like, what a person does, what a person thinks, where a person goes, I want to read what he says. Well, God has given us plenty to read to tell us who he is, what he does, what he thinks. So let's read and study the Word. That takes me now to be number two. Are you ready? Be patient. Now, here's something we all need to work on, I'm sure. How many of you will just be honest? I don't want to ask you to lift your hand. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to confess that I have a hard time sometimes being patient with some people. And if you've had to deal with some people like I have for 70 years, you'd get impatient too. I'm telling you, we all have a problem with patience once in a while. But James says in his 5th chapter at verses 7 and 8, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit. That is, like the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now here's what he's saying to you and me. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The nearer we come to the coming of the Lord, the more patient we should have grown, we should be. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Listen to what Jesus, I'm going to quote Jesus again. Now, you don't mind if I quote Jesus. He said in Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, be patient toward all men. Kind of wish you'd have left that word all out, don't you? Let us be impatient to some, but no, Paul says be patient toward all men. Someone defined patience as the ability to keep your motor idling when you feel like stripping your gears. Every person in this room at one time or another has felt like stripping your gears. Some of you stripped them more than once, haven't we all? Number three, did anybody get stung yet? Yeah. Number three, be at peace. Be at peace. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, chapter 22 at verse 21, Job says, acquaint now thyself with him, that is with God, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Be at peace. Now listen, folks, we must be at peace with God before we can be at peace with each other. And we need to be at peace with each other. Listen what Paul said about it. Romans 12:18. If it be possible, that's Paul writing, this is inspired, this is the Bible. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Now that's not always easy. But I don't think God would have put that in his book if he didn't intend for us to follow that statement and that declaration. And I think he will give us grace to do it, don't you? As much as in you, live peaceably with all men. Be number four. Be of good cheer. Getting a little easier on you now. But I hope somebody will get stung by this bee. It's a good bee. Jesus said, I'm quoting Jesus already, 3 times already. Matthew 14 and verse 27. Let me give you a little background. The disciples out fishing, and they have fished all night long. And in the morning, I love this. In the morning, Jesus was on the shore. You know, when you've been out there sailing in rough waters all night long of your life, Jesus is on the shore waiting for you. He started walking toward them, and they thought it was a ghost. They were afraid. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 14 at verse 27, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." As long as the I is with us, the I am. He's the great I am. That identifies him immediately with his Father, who said he was the great I am. Wow, you can't separate the Trinity, folks. God the Father Almighty, Jesus the Son, the Messiah, the Holy Spirit, the great comforter and teacher of our souls. Be of good cheer. So in the darkness of the problems, the heartaches, the difficulties, the trials, the rough waters that you're sailing through, be of good cheer. Jesus is waiting for you. "It is I," he said, "be not afraid." Now, I've never counted them, but I've read in several reference books that there are 365 times in the Bible where the words "fear not" or their equivalent appear. Now, you know how many days there are in a year? 365. So that means we got to fear not for every day. You got to fear not for a day. If somebody almost runs into you on the highway, fear not. If it hits you, fear not. Anyway, live right anyhow. Hold your temper anyhow. Be kind anyhow. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Be number five. Be diligent. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Peter said, "Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace." Now, to be diligent means to be zealous. It means to be humble. It means to be sincere. It means to be striving in the right direction for the right thing. Be diligent. You know, that's the way it ought to be on our work. We ought to be diligent as we work. Whether we are working in the church or for the church, or on a secular job or at home or wherever, just be diligent. Stay with it. Get with it. Be with it. Be sincere about it. Be number six. Be clothed. I heard one fellow say, when he'd read that story about the demon-possessed man, finally got his clothes on, and one preacher said, "Well, I'm glad that winter is here, because people will be clothed whether they're in their right mind or not." Be clothed with humility. That's what I'm telling you about. 1 Peter 5:5, he says, be clothed with humility. Not pride, that's the opposite. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. You know what that word resisteth means? He withdraws from them. God withdraws from the people who are proud. But look at the next phrase. And giveth grace to the humble. How much do you weigh on God's scales anyhow? How much like Christ are you today? Would anyone say about you, there goes one of those Christ ones, one of those Christians? What about the people you work with, the people in your home? You know, sometimes we're crueler to people at home than we are to people anywhere. Isn't that sad? But that's true in many cases. The people in your community. Be humble. Be clothed with humility. Number seven. Be kind. You know, down in Burleson, I see all through the neighborhoods and on the businesses and the yards a sign that says, "Kindness matters." I saw it the other day painted on the side of a building. Kindness matters, and it does. You know, you may not be the smartest person in the world, or the richest, or the strongest, or even the happiest. You can be kind. Anybody. If you want to be like Jesus, be kind. If you want to be called a Christ one, a Christian, be kind. Just a kind word could save somebody's life. It could save somebody's profession, their job, their family. Just go by and pat them on the shoulder and say a good word to them. I'm thinking of you today. I'm praying for you today. Maybe write them a card or a letter. Send them a text. I'm praying for you. I love you. God loves you. You know, that could make a lot of difference in a person's life. I've had students to come to me years after that I taught 50 years ago and more, and had them to say to me, "Dr. Barber, that one time that you came by and put your hand on my shoulder, I was ready to give up, quit school, and go back home. And you just said, 'Hang in there, son.' And now they're pastoring. I'm glad that I said something kind to them, something encouraging." Be kind. Ephesians 4 at verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." By the way, that reminds me, if I might interrupt what I'm doing here. My last message, which was this last Wednesday night, on "Don't Look Now, But Your Attitude Is Showing," I preached on "Don't Look Now, But the Attitude of Unforgiveness." And I've had more kind compliments about that message than any of the other three. You know, sometimes if we just stop and think, we ought to be willing to forgive like God has forgiven us. And by the way, if we don't forgive, Mark 11, 25 and 26, he's not going to forgive us. Let me repeat a sentence I made. Kindness will not flow toward you until it flows from you. Remember that. And I said all that to say this. If you ordered one of the books, my wife has them, they are $9.95, but I put my autograph in them. And so we're selling them for $10. My autograph ought to be worth 5 cents, wouldn't you think? So we level it off at $10. If you didn't order it, she has some. You can give her an order. She may have some extra ones that she could let you have today. I'm not sure. But you could at least take her order and we could bring it Wednesday night or next Sunday, whatever. But anyway, I just thought about it when I was talking about this forgiving. Forgiving one another, even as God. Did you get that? Even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. Listen, have you thought about the investment that God's made in you lately? He invested his son at Calvary. God invested the best he had to bring us to him. We ought to live for him. We ought to be kind. We ought to forgive. We ought to be humble. Has anybody got stung yet again? Yeah, several of you have been stung. I can see it on your face. I'm a face reader. If I could see, I could really read. Number eight. Be strong. Joshua 1:6. God said to Joshua. He was about to, you know, Moses is dead, and he's dreading taking on what Moses left off. He knew it was a hard job. And God said to him, get up, Joshua, in so many words. But he did say this, be strong and of a good courage. And three times in Joshua chapter 1, God said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. We need that today, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a war. We're not in a picnic. We're not on a playground. We're on a battleground. We're fighting the good fight of faith. So let's be strong and very courageous. Stand up against the evils of our society and our world. Be strong. Be number 9. Be steadfast. Not wishy-washy. Not here today and gone tomorrow. Up today and down tomorrow. In today and out tomorrow. Oh no. Be steadfast. Reminded of the little boy that was brushing his horse. A man came by and said, son, can that horse run fast? Well, I don't know, but he sure can stand fast. That word steadfast means to stand fast, strong, secure. Know where you are. Know what you're doing. Know why you're doing it. So at the closing out of Paul's great discourse on the resurrection, he said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, be steadfast, unmovable. I hope we'll grasp these things this morning and do our best to be what these bees are all about, even though we're getting stung all along. Now, bee number 10, be armed. You know, like the soldiers armed and dressed for battle. Paul dresses up the soldier in Ephesians 6 at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Be armed. Be ready. You're in a battle. I just said that. Let me repeat it. We're not on a playground. We're in a battleground. We're fighting the good fight of the faith. Be a good soldier. That's what Paul said to young Timothy. Be a good soldier. Now, my final B, and some of you will be flabbergasted by the time I get through. Here it is. Be ready. Be ready. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus, here I go. The last time in this lesson, I'm going to quote Jesus. Isn't that a good way to close out the lesson? Quoting Jesus, the highest authority, the greatest authority the world has ever known. He said in Matthew 24 at verse 44, listen now, therefore, he said, that connects what he just said with what he's about to say. That therefore, as you know, is a conjunction in the parts of speech. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not. You know why I know Jesus is coming soon? Most people are not thinking about it. In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Hebrews 9:27. I leave you with this. Paul said, unto them that look for him. Who are you looking for today? What are you looking for today? Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without a sin offering unto salvation. I hope you've enjoyed every sting. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your blessings in this hour upon the lesson, upon your word, upon your people. May we take all of these things to heart. May we not just look lightly upon them and say, well, it's just another lesson. Another preacher's spouted off some. But no, no, no. We've given you the word of Jesus this morning, the word of the Apostle Paul and Peter. And I hope that we'll pay attention and let these words be absorbed into our hearts and minds. There will never be another Sunday, August the 1st, 2021. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.